You know, there are churches, not us, there are churches that escort certain people out when they walk in. I know a guy that walked in a church with a pair of sunglasses on, and they escorted him out and wouldn't allow him to stay in the church because he had sunglasses on. The guy had an eye problem, but they didn't bother to ask that. There are churches that escort people out. And I used to say when I was pastoring in Twin Rivers, I will take all the rejects in the city. If you don't want them, send them to me because we will find a way to love them. They may be bruised. They may be battered. They may be unclean. They may be broken. They may be lost. And they may come in the house dressed the wrong way, talking the wrong way. Listen, I don't care how they come in. I just care how they go out. It doesn't matter. Come in broken. Bring your cares and cast them upon you. I remember this young man one time that got saved, and he stood up to testify, and he said two cuss words in his testimony. And we tried not to react at all. And I had a few people went, because, you know, you don't say that in a testimony. And I mean, they were whoppers too. And so the guy sat down and I said, how many of you like baby talk? I love it when somebody's coming to Christ. We said he was saved. We didn't say he was sanctified. He's just saved, but he's getting there. God is working on him. I love it when I see baby Christians learning to walk and learning to talk, because you know that somebody has been to the wayside. The only thing that reaches people here is agape love. The only thing that reaches them is somebody who says, I will love you when no one else will. Have you ever been given that assignment before? It is hard. Have you ever had that assignment to even members of your family or people that you loved, or an old friend who is resisting you and pushing you away, and you had to make the choice, well, either I'm gonna ghost you, or I'm just gonna play the same game and we'll see who wins, or you said, I'm gonna take the high road, I'm gonna let the love of God love on you in a way that you won't even be able to resist the love of God in your life. There's a scene in the Bible, and I don't want to elaborate on this because I have a lot to say tonight, but there's a scene in the Bible where Mary is breaking the alabaster box, and we get so enamored by the smell and the alabaster and the cost and all those things, the cost of the oil. We get so enamored by that we sometimes forget the whole thesis that Jesus wrapped the scene up with. When everybody was ostracizing her and trying to get him to, you know, even Jesus said, I can't believe you let this wayward woman wash your feet with her, you know, pour this oil on you and cry on you and wash and dry your feet with her hair. I can't believe you allowed this. And then Jesus says something. He says, to him who has been forgiven much has the ability to love much. And I just want to say to all the broken vessels out here tonight, I want to say to everybody that was lost and now you're found, I want to say to everybody here that there was a time in your life that you could not hold your head up and you felt absolutely worthless, but somebody loved you and Jesus loved you, and here you are tonight. If you are that person, if you're that broken person, can I tell you, you have a gift that other people in this room do not have. You have the ability to love much. Your brokenness gives you a gift to love people that no one else wants to give. If you've ever been judged, then you're the last one to judge somebody else. If you know what it feels like to be lied on, you don't want to lie on anybody else. If you know what it feels to be the subject of ridicule, then you think twice before you raise your tongue against another person because you understand how that feels. Those who have been broken is what God is asking for tonight. He needs some broken people that he's put back together who have this ability to love in a way that no one else can love. You will love beyond the smell. You will love beyond the brokenness. You will love beyond the failure. You will love beyond the struggle. You will love beyond the confusion. You will love beyond their sin. You will love beyond all the things that the world and the church is rejecting them for. You will love them when no one else will. That's the only way to reach the people in the wayside. And I want to say this before I go to the next one. God is looking for someone tonight who will say, Father, if you will help me and give me that heart to love through agape love, I'll be that person. Somebody in this room tonight is going to get a calling on your life. God, I'm calling you to a ministry of loving on somebody in a way that no one else can love them. And I will reach them when no one else wants to reach them. You know, I don't say this to brag. I just say this as an example. I keep money in my car. I don't keep $1 bills. I keep $5 bills. And I do that for a purpose because I give it to every beggar I run into. And I've had so many people say, you know, you're just helping their habit. You're just doing whatever. I said, listen, I don't care. The Bible says if you lend to the poor, that if you give to the poor, you lend to God. And all I know is they're poor. I don't need to know their story. But if nobody shows them the love of God and gets them a warm cup of coffee or a place to sleep that night, if nobody does that, how are they ever going to find Christ if there's no light shining in darkness? Somebody has to be the light of the world. And so do I trust what they're... I'm not doing it because I trust them. I'm doing it because they're poor. I'm not doing it because they deserve it. I'm doing it because they're poor. And the Lord told me to give to the poor. And if you give to the poor, you lend to God. And I'm not flipping them quarters. You know how many quarters it takes to buy anything? So I just hand them $5 bills. And there's this one old man out there by the Walmart near where our house. He's out there all the time. He's a broken down man. He looks like he's had the hardest life. And he's sitting on a walker. And he can barely get up. And every time I see him, I always give him a $5 bill. And he says, God bless you, sir. God bless you. I don't know that man's story. But there's been so many times I wanted to get out of my car and wrap my arms around him and say, listen, God loves you and so do I. Because I don't need to know what broke him. Because I've been broken and you've been broken. I just need to know who can heal him. I don't need to know I don't need the story. I don't even need his name. I don't have to know his name. I'm not nosy. I don't need to know his name. I just need to pray for his brokenness because that's where God can heal him.
Thank you so much for supporting our ministry. If this has blessed you, please say a prayer for us. And if you would like to give, we have 4 ways that you can do that. You can give online at briancutshaw.com. Or if you're a PayPal user, just PayPal us at Church Trainer. Or you can also give through the mail at P.O. Box 267, Georgetown, Tennessee, 37336. Or if you're a Venmo user, you can Venmo us also at Church Trainer. Thank you, and God bless you, and may the Lord multiply your seed. Now back to Hope in the Word.
Stony Ground, listen to this one again. This is how Jesus translates it. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. They have no root in themselves, and so they endure only for a time. And afterwards, when tribulation and persecution arises, for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Here's a person who gets saved and goes out again, in and out, in and out. Maybe that was you at one time. Maybe that's somebody you know. It's like they hang on for a while and then they let go. They hang on for a while and they let go. They do good for a while and then they mess up for a while. They do good for a while and they mess up for a while. And the Lord says there's a problem here. This is a person who is needing to grow. This is a person in this chair here. If you have babies that sit in this chair, you have to feed them. They cannot feed themselves. After a while, they will learn. And it's kind of fun watching them learn, even though they make a real big mess when they're cramming everything in their mouth and getting it all over their hair and wiping it in their eyes, because this is a baby learning a new skill. But when you first set that baby there, if you don't feed them, they will die. They are cold, they're totally dependent upon somebody giving them skills. There are Christians who love God, who want to serve God, but they have never had anybody to give them roots. And they hang on as long as they can with what they've got. But because they've never had a mentor, and they've never had anyone in their whole life disciple them. And as much as I love church, it's just not enough. You know, you heard me preach on the three fires you need, the bonfire, the candle, and the campfire. The campfire is the only place you can ask questions. And if all they do is come to church and leave and come to church and leave, when are they going to say, by the way, what does that scripture mean? Can you explain that to me? So listen to what Jesus says about this passage. They receive the word with gladness. You see them at church, they're smiling, their hands in the air, and it looks like everything is great. And then they disappear. And then later on, you see them back, and they're back in the altar, and they're jumping up and down again. And then before you know it, they're not here again. They can't endure because they don't have enough roots to endure. They want to endure. When I was back at Lee College in those days, which is now Lee University, a great big oak tree blew over in the middle of our campus. I don't know if any of you were there at the time, but it was quite a scene. And our teacher that day decided to take the class outside and do the class around the oak tree. So instead of having the class, he took us all outside. We sat on the ground, and he sat around, not that tree. That's just one I swiped off the internet. That could be in your yard. If so, I'm sorry. We sat around the roots of that tree, and he explained to us that this great oak that looked mighty had rotted because its roots were too shallow, and the water had rotted the roots. And he was showing us that something even that big and that powerful and that mighty could not stand without roots. And it was the roots holding that mighty giant in the air, swaying in the wind. It was the roots the whole time holding it up. But without the roots, when the roots started decaying, the giant fell over. I learned a great lesson that day sitting there watching those roots. It was such a paradigm for us that I could not forget the scene. And I realize that if it had not been for the people in my life who took me under their wing and said, Brian, let me show you how to do this, that I would not have the roots that I have today. Do you ever remember somebody coming to the altar and praying with you when you were young in the Lord and you prayed and you can hear their voice? There was a few people, their voice kind of trembled when they prayed, and that sounded like prayer to me. When I hear it now, it almost brings tears to my eyes because it reminds me of the old saints and the way they prayed, but it almost was like a tremble in their voice when they prayed. And there was something beautiful about that. And I don't know where they learned it, but it was just a familiar sound to me because I was learning to pray from hearing them pray. When we were in St. Louis, there was a wonderful lady in our church. Her name was Claire Small. Claire was a cashier at a grocery store in Webster Groves, Missouri. And Claire was this person that did not need the limelight. As a matter of fact, I don't ever remember her winning an award. No one ever brought her up and bragged on her. I mean, but she wasn't that kind of a person. I don't think she would have allowed it anyway. She was just always behind the scenes. But here's what I remember about Claire. Two things stand out. She's in heaven now. Two things stand out about Claire. Number one, she was one of the most positive people I'd ever met. Always positive. Never trouble, never complained about one thing the whole time I was her pastor for almost 30 years. And never one complaint, just always supportive, just always positive. That's the one thing I remember. The second thing I remember about her is that she was always discipling some young lady. That she always had some girl sitting around her table pouring the gospel into them and bringing them to church with her. And then they'd change. After a while, it's somebody else. And she never made a big deal out of it. Her and her buddy Betty Steele was her name. They were kind of in on this together, and they were always bringing these ladies that they would find. I don't know where they found them, but they'd bring them in, and they'd bring them to Claire's house, and they would just put on a coffee pot and lay a Bible on the table, not a class, not a program. No one asked them to do it. And they weren't even telling anybody they were doing it. They were just giving somebody roots. They knew that without roots, they could not last. Do you know there are people wanting to last and they can't last because there's no one that practices, I don't mean no one, but there's not enough people that practices one-on-one discipleship anymore. I don't know when we stopped seeing the value in that, when that was the Jesus model. I don't know when we stop seeing the value of just taking one person under our wing and getting them strong in the Lord. How many of you can trace your spiritual legacy back to somebody in your life that taught you the good way? How many of you can say, "This, I remember praying from this person. I remember learning to worship by watching this person worship." And unless we get people that are called, and this is why Claire did it. It wasn't a program. We never had any. It wasn't a life group. It wasn't anything. It was a calling. Somewhere along the way, the Lord said, "Claire, I want to turn your kitchen table into a sanctuary. Somewhere, I want you to take that little small round kitchen table and that old Bible, and I'm going to give you a student, and I want you to pour everything you've got into that student." And the whole time I knew Claire, she was always bringing up someone in the faith, one-on-one, giving them roots.
This program is brought to you by the partners of Brian Cutshaw and Church Trainer Ministries. Please help us pray that the Lord will continue to send us more partners so we can expand His kingdom around the world.